What is up, guys? Welcome to episode number 150 of Beef's Beef. Got a great episode for you guys today. I had my friend Daryl Faust on to talk about the Louisville women's basketball season and what we can expect. I guess as much as we can with COVID and everything. But before I give an intro to her, I want to talk about my sponsors that I have for the podcast. Of course, we always have Crystal Lackey at Stockton Mortgage. Hit up Crystal for any of your home loans, your mortgage, your refinancing needs, anything you need when it comes to the home buying process. Call my friend Crystal. You can get in touch with her at 502-615-0743. Again, it's Crystal Lackey at Stockton Mortgage. Stockton Mortgage is an equal housing lender, MLS number 8259. Crystal Lackey, MLS number 1735979. My next sponsor, you see it right here. Boom. Sorry, I got a new chair, so I'm trying to figure. There it is. Delium Clothing. Delium Clothing you can find on Facebook. Delium, you search Delium Clothing, B-D-E-L-L-I-O-M, or at Delium Clothing on Instagram. Delium is a men's and women's minimalistic brand that focuses on modern aesthetic and quality. Everything comes pre-shrunk, so you don't have to worry about putting it in a dryer and it's shrinking up on you or anything like that. Put it in there. Boom. He had a great fashion show this past week in downtown New Albany. You can also find his men's line in Hems Gentleman Boutique in New Albany as well. Again, it's Delium Clothing. Hit them up. You can find them. I shared some stuff on my Facebook through the Beef's Beef page and on my page. Delium Clothing. Look for them on Facebook, Delium Clothing, and at Delium Clothing on Instagram. So, like I said, today I'm doing a great interview with one of my friends, Daryl Faust. She is it's weird. We met through social media. We just started tweeting back and forth about different things. And, you know, I noticed she was always doing stuff with women's sports. And she was my go-to all the time when it came to asking questions about different things. So we've been talking about having her. I've been talking about having her on and couldn't figure out the perfect time to do it. But She's covered Louisville in some facet since 2012. She's a 2015 alum out of the sports administration program. She's been a U of L fan her whole life, and pretty much anything she does revolves around U of L sports. I would plug her social media, but I'll be honest with you, I'm unprepared and don't have it sitting next to me. But you're going to enjoy the interview. You're going to enjoy the insight that she'll give you for Louisville women's basketball. And without further ado, Daryl Faust. So I'm here with Daryl. How's it going today?
Pretty good day. How about yourself?
Not bad. Like I was telling you, been pretty hectic after work, putting a new chair together. I got a new camera yesterday, so hopefully I look moving a little bit better. Up. Yeah, exactly. So I have you on today to talk about the women's basketball season, Louisville women's basketball season, because I see you all the time, always talking about it. You've always been involved with it, so I thought who better to have on than you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so with COVID-19 and everything, the first question I want to ask is, with us right now being projected to get 15% in the Yum Center, do you think that that's actually going to happen, especially with the – it's weird because we have an outbreak right now, and it's probably worse than when we were closed down, but no one's really paying attention to it.
Right. It's crazy to think about this time last year and how the season hasn't even started. We're in November and 2 weeks till the season starts, so Thanksgiving. And honestly – we had Coach Walls had a press conference today. He talked about how he had a good spirits today. And I think he's excited about, like, everything under the circumstances, everything that could happen, he's prepared for. He talked about if you're not prepared for games being canceled or, you know, then you're not ready for this season. And he and his staff are prepared. If a game gets canceled the next day, he has a list of like 9 teams, I think he said, that he could call and be like, can we play you all? But also that's a risk for Louisville. You know, we're one of the top attended teams in the nation every year, and it's going to be cut back. It's pretty well known that it's an older demographic that the women's game draws. So they are more vulnerable. And it will be interesting to see because, and also another thing is that the women are kind of known for having autograph sessions at the end of the game and big lines of people up the stairwell. And that stuff's not going to be going on this season. But I think it'll be a test for the younger folk to get out there and still support the team, if they have the opportunity, because you're lucky if you do, because everything's limited. Fans, staff, media are going to be limited there. I'm not sure how many games I'll get to go to. Like you said, I've been covering them for years, and it just kind of sucks to anything can change in a minute. We just saw right before we came on that the Ivy League's not going to be playing this winter.
Yeah.
So anything can change in a second.
Yeah, you bring up a good point of, you know, we need to be ready for games not happening. And I think even though we still know that that COVID is here and the pandemic is here, we start seeing games and we kind of get used to getting in that rhythm again of having games. And it kind of threw me off last week when we didn't play Virginia. So, yeah. I mean, that's a very good point of him bringing up is you have to expect that we're going to miss some games, because – we got really lucky that both teams had a bye week this week in football, because we could just move our football game back 1 week. But in basketball, it's not going to be like that. There's going to be teams, yeah, like you're saying, that are lining up to play, and there's no telling what's going to happen.
And Coach didn't really say who's on that list, like maybe a UK, but not sure. I'm sure it'll be somebody local. Yeah. They'll stay as close as possible.
So you touched on the press conference. You got to sit in on Coach Walsh's press conference today. What all did he cover other than the stuff you just said?
Like I said, he was in really good spirits. Like, I think he mentioned that they're more prepared than he thought he was going to be at this point. Specific players are more prepared, freshmen particularly. We've got a few redshirt freshmen that are redshirt players that will join the team this year. So there's opportunities, and it just feels like a different team entirely. Yeah. Besides your Dana Evans and your other juniors and seniors. But I'm just really excited because, you know, I think this team and these players are going to play like every game is the last.
Yeah, I mean, you really don't have a choice to, because you really don't know if it's going to be, especially with the way season ended last year.
Yeah, every game could be the last, so they're going to put it all out on the floor. And he talks about how he gave a big shout out to the practice squad, because they go through the same protocols that the players do, and they're really risking a lot, giving up a lot to be able to do that. So that just shows how dedicated they are to the program. He talked about, obviously, Dana Evans being named to the AP team today, and all the other accolades for other players this week that happened, all ACC acknowledgments. So he's really excited, and, you know, when every time he gets a challenge thrown his way, he's, yeah, you know, up to it.
Yeah, so you spoke about how the team looks different, and – one big difference is Jasmine Jones, but I want to ask you, outside of Jasmine Jones, who do you think is the biggest loss from this team, and why would you say it's that person?
Well, it has to be her now pro teammate Kylie Shook, who took a huge leap her senior year. She was a huge part of this team, not just in size. I mean, you could see how big she was in the middle, but she could do everything. You know, she was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. She had 223 career blocks, and 86 of them were last season. And she could nail a three when it was needed. She is, like, the all-time leader at U of L in blocks. She had 11 double-doubles last season, so that's a huge stats that are going to have to be filled by somebody else.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she was just a leader. And if we could have a fifth-year Kylie, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of wonder if they would have let that happen where, you know, the pandemic cut the season early, if she would have come back. She probably wouldn't have with the way she landed, because wasn't she was early on in the second round, or first pick of the second round or something, wasn't she?
Close to it, yeah. Her, yeah, and Jazz went pretty close.
Yeah, so this class that's coming in for the Cards is – a very well-known class. One highly known person is Haley Van Lith. You know, you see the stories with her and Kobe Bryant and other stuff like that. But outside of Haley Van Lith, and it doesn't even have to be a freshman, because you mentioned players that have sat out, who is the biggest addition to this team and why?
I was wondering if you meant, you know, a true freshman, or maybe a redshirt player. So I have an answer for both. The freshman would be Olivia Cochran. If you look through her bios, it's just about as long as Haley's. They competed alongside each other in Team USA, and she was the number 18 player in the country. So it's a pretty big get for Coach Schwalz as well. She was also a 2020 McDonald All-American. So pretty excited to see what she can do. Coach did say that freshmen would definitely be playing this year. There will be a rotation of Olivia, Haley, and then Marissa Russell, who's from Canada.
Nice. So who was the – you said you had another person that you were mentioning?
Oh, the red, it would be a redshirt freshman, Romani Parker. I think I'm excited about her addition to the team. She's big, and she spent last season here, you know, and I feel like she grew with the team. And what happened to last year's team, I think it just, you know, how the season was cut off. They didn't get to do what I thought was a real run for a championship.
Yeah.
It just changes you. And I think, like, just that entire experience is going to be interesting to see how these athletes react and just play moving forward.
So she transferred from Cal, right? Isn't that right? Is that the one that transferred from Cal?
Yeah, or she just redshirted last season, I think.
I got you. I knew there was a transfer from Cal as well that sat out last year. She might be a junior, though. I can't remember what her name is.
Yeah, Kiana Smith.
Yes, I was reading some things on her. That was honestly who I thought you would say, because I know she was pretty excited about sitting out last season and kind of getting to practice with the team still, and, you know, how excited she was to step in and take a role over that someone had already left.
Yeah, she was close to Romani if it was going to be one of the red shirts.
So I what's crazy is when we got Haley Van Lith, I looked at her, I was like, that's the girl that you always see in those Facebook videos where she's just crossing over guys, or YouTube videos. And I have to ask the question, is Haley Van Lith at least the biggest recruit that Jeff Walls has ever gotten? Maybe not by ranking, but at least by notoriety, or maybe even both?
You know, you already mentioned what I was going to say about Haley. We saw in January, 2 weeks before Kobe died, that Kobe was at her games and throwing L's up. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, this, I'm going to get into it. Kobe, a friend of mine are really big fans of him. And when he saw that picture, you know, we always text each other Kobe stories, and I sent it to her, and the text exchange between us was, you know, I told her, I think Kobe Bryant will be in the Yum Center this year because of Haley Van Lith and, you know, his daughter and all of that. And so just that was really bothered me when I realized that's not going to happen. But that was one of the things that, she is the biggest. She gets the most notoriety. Like I said, with Olivia, if you scroll her bio, it's pages and pages and pages of high school accolades. And she seems to be like a really good addition to the team and a team player. And what more can you ask for?
Yeah, absolutely. So looking at the schedule and looking it over, you mentioned it already, but why, can you give us a story on why there's no UK on the schedule this year?
Well, if you look at the out-of-conference schedule, I said, you know, it's obviously local with the virus. They're going to keep it as close as possible. People aren't traveling as much. And I think, I mean, I don't want to overthink it. UK is actually would have been a great addition to the schedule. They're, you know, they're getting up there with the, you know, being a top dog too. And you hate to see it, but
yeah.
but Coach Walls is really complimentary of UK all the time. And, you know, he coached Ryan Howard, and she's really good. And, you know, when you have two of like the top five, she was also named to the AP team today. When you have two of the top teams, this is what Coach Walls said, two of the top players within an hour of each other in this, you know, same state, that says a lot about this area. And it's really good rivalry. I think that it's just the out of conference schedule gives an opportunity to the smaller schools to make a little money, get a little publicity. Kentucky doesn't need that from us. Yeah. I mean, it's a great game, but there's also the potential of playing Kentucky in the postseason. So it could happen if we get that far.
Yeah. We got to get that far first. So you spoke on the out of conference. I know they open up with Middle Tennessee, and then I think they go they play Cincinnati, and then what is it, Eastern Kentucky?
Yep.
So what games to you, though, obviously outside of UConn, we'll talk about UConn in a second. Outside of UConn, what games stick out to you the most of the out-of-conference games?
Well, Middle Tennessee is like always one of those teams U of L plays. It feels like a contract with them might be finishing up, so they just want to fulfill that. Cincinnati's close. Eastern Kentucky obviously has the tie with Sam Williams as head coach, and she was here a couple years ago. I just had her first season with Eastern, turned that program around. Another great in-state small addition, and then Bellarmine. I mean, U of L is going to start a regular back and forth with them, and probably
it's
every
gonna be
sport.
So, are they playing in the Yum Center, or are they playing in Freedom Hall?
I am not sure at the top of my head.
Is that probably it? That would be so weird to see Louisville playing in Freedom Hall as an away team.
It's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, I don't know
men or
why.
Women or both.
Yeah, I don't know why the men haven't already added them to the schedule. I think that's an every year game that should happen. And I know
it can happen. Games can.
That's true.
Be canceled in a day. They're right down the street. Like,
yeah,
makes sense.
It's not like something you would have to work out travel for, because it's like, oh yeah, you want to walk to the Yum Center? Come on over. We can play this game. So. Let's talk about the new – I'm going to do the air quotes – the neutral site game with Connecticut that's in Connecticut, but apparently it's being called neutral site.
Love those.
Yeah. First off, because you said a lot of local flavor in the schedule, how do we end up getting this? I'm not arguing with it, because you always want to play the best teams on your in college basketball. You always want to play the best teams anyway. So how did this game end up happening?
I think it's also the end of another contract. They were here last year, and then we were there the year before, and then they finished it up with a neutral game. Neutral, like you said.
Yeah.
It's like neutral in North Carolina.
That's another game that I hope we're at least if it is a contract, I hope it's a contract we re-sign. Because I don't care if it is UConn, and, you know, we may not have gotten the good side of them. I would rather play them every year. That way, because they're a team that you always look at and you're like, okay, how do I stack up to the rest of the nation? If I stack up well with UConn, I'm going to stack up well with the rest of the nation.
Oh, yeah, and I think Gino realizes that too, not to mention the potential fan attendance, but, you know, we'll get to that bridge when we, you know.
Yeah. So if you had to predict the conference finish, I know was the AP came out yesterday. If you had to predict the conference finish yourself, what would it be for Louisville, and who are the biggest obstacles for Louisville in the conference schedule?
Well, I think, first of all, Louisville is should be the projected champion every year. That's just the standard now. But, you know, there is potential with this team. I think they're outsized and maybe a little out-matured. But I think the Cards can still finish first in it. But then, we'll talk about it second. But they're ranking number five, coming in number five in the nation. And then NC State coming in number eight right behind them. NC State is one of those teams that seem to have U of L's number every other game. It's always close. And it seems to be like their biggest competition in the ACC besides Notre Dame. But Notre Dame's kind of down.
Yeah.
So I think U of L should come in first. NC State should come in second. And then there's like the great addition of Kara Lawson at Duke. And I'm interested to see what she can do, because she knows a lot about these teams. She's obviously been with every network covering them for years. She's been at the Yum Center. I can't count how many times. So she's very familiar with Coach. And you can't ever overlook Syracuse anymore, because they can shock you. Head coach Quentin Hillsman is just he's bright, and I mean that visually and mentally.
Yeah. was it last year that they traveled up there and got beat in the Carrier Dome, or was it?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that's a place that it doesn't matter if it's men's or women's. I've heard so many stories in football and in men's and women's basketball where you just go up there and it's just like, this place sucks. They play, like everything. Like they talk about, it's called the Carrier Dome, but they talk about like it's so hot in there and you can't even breathe. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can kind of see.
If you've ever played a game there, you're immune to COVID. You've got to be.
Yeah, I did see that meme. That's pretty good. So the other thing we have to talk about, because I didn't put it on here, but not only is Kara Lawson joining Duke, but we lose Muffet McGraw, which is something that everyone I'm sure hates to see. But what do you think about her joining the ACC network.
Oh, not surprising, but glad too, because, you know, not a fan. Yeah. I think she kind of is just passive aggressive sometimes, but you know, I mean, I can,
it really,
I can
wasn't still... passive, if we're being honest. It really true, wasn't passive. True.
I mean, but honestly, I can have compassion for her too. Like, everybody personally, she's had personal issues, like family wise, and you know, yeah. But she's been great for the game. You can't deny that. She's been great for the game, and she's had a lot of great years and great accolades and trophies and players that have gone on. And but to the network, you know, what else are you?
I'm glad she's an in-studio analyst and not doing the games. I'll say that at least.
Yeah, hopefully never gets on one of UofL games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she'll be talking about it, but yeah, they said that she's in studio, so we don't have to worry about her forgetting people's names.
Is anybody in studio anymore?
I mean, you see them in there, and they're probably about 40 feet away from each other, so they're like yelling across the studio to each other. So that's it's pretty much like doing a Zoom call like this. Yeah, I mean, they're not really that close, but yeah, they're in studio. Because I mean, I see pictures all the time from Instagram, because most of the time they post them whenever I'm at work doing like the daytime ACC shows and stuff. So.
The ACC tip-off, the women's basketball tip-off was today, and it was all virtual, so Coach Walls was over there at the network, and kind of sucks. I really like going to that event, and it's a time for players to get to know fans, you know, when you sit at the table and eat dinner with them, and, like, the whole fan experience. It's just going to be different this year.
So I've never been to one of those. You bring that up. Like, kind of break it down what those actually do whenever it's not virtual. So, I mean, you brought a part of it. So the players actually sit at tables with fans?
Yeah. The happens at football and men's basketball, too. It's the fans, I guess, pay for a table, and it's about 8 to 10 of them, and one player's at each table around the room, and it's usually downtown at Marriott or something. And it won't be Sean Moth this year. Isn't this crazy? All these things changing. It's usually Sean Moth emceeing, and he'll introduce everybody. All the players will walk across the stage. Seniors usually say something. Coach Walls will talk about the team. It's just, it's a really good back and forth. And we'll miss that this year.
Yeah. Good luck to the guy that's doing the football games. I just haven't gotten used to him yet. I don't know have you been to any of the football games at all this season?
No, but I hear him sometimes on the broadcast. But do you not remember him doing, like, the halftime shows?
Yeah, he does. But that's what's weird is, like, it just sounds like the constant same thing the entire time. So it's like I haven't gotten used to it yet. And plus, you know, I'm going to be 32 in December, so I've only known Sean Moth. Like, that's all I've known. And, yeah. I mean, good. Go live your life, but you've heard mine.
It took a minute for me to get used to Coach Mack. I guess I'm used to him in football. Never mind.
Yeah. But I am glad we get to keep him for baseball, that he is still doing the baseball games. Sean Moth is. I did hear that. So at least we get to keep Sean Moth for baseball.
Oh, yeah, on the radio.
Yeah. So one of the things I was going to ask was the Duke question, but we already talked about that. We'll have to get on that. But I do want to put it out there. We do play Duke twice. And we'll put it out there later on why we actually play Duke twice. I don't know, because neither one of us knew why we played Duke twice at Duke. It was just a weird situation. So, do you think – because the AP poll came out yesterday, and, you know, the ESPN way too early poll came out last week or the week before. Do you think that ESPN and now the AP ranking Louisville at number 5 is either too high, too low, or would you say it's probably just about right for the experience and lack of that they have on this team?
You got to also keep in mind that they didn't have the tournament to go on. Yeah. So I honestly love just, you know, a top 5 ranking anywhere in there. Anything below that, I'll be a little offended. but I don't want to be number 1 necessarily ever. I've just always loved the underdog role, and I just, you know, you have a target on your back instantly all season long. And then once you lose it, it's like, I don't know. Just to me, I'd rather have a little bit of room to grow. And then if something happens, it's not so shocking. So 5 is great to me.
So you don't, I mean, obviously you like being 1 when the season's over with, but yeah. So you don't like being 1. That's, I don't know. I mean, to me, I'd rather be the best and have everybody come at me. But I will be mad.
Yeah, I will be mad if they come in 1. Like, congratulations. They obviously earned it.
Yeah. So Who is one player that you could see on this team that they couldn't stand to lose? Like if someone went down to injury, which I'm knocking on whatever wood I can because I don't want to jinx this team at all. Who is the one team or who's the one player that this team couldn't stand to lose and still make a deep run in March? Like if they lost them, they wouldn't still make the deep run in March.
I'm glad you mentioned the jinx because I also believe in jinx.
Yeah, so it's on me if it happens.
Okay, I was going to say, because you said you don't want it to be on you, and it has to be on me for saying it. But
No. If it happens, I'll take the blame for it, but it's not going to happen.
Well, first of all, I think we have, two different situations we have to prepare for, the potential of injury and then the potential of a COVID exposure.
That's a good point.
Which is, it's going to be different. And, yeah. Obviously, the one player you couldn't lose ever to injury would be Dana Evans. I mean, she's just the heart and soul of the team. This is her senior year, and it's not taking anything away from anybody else, but I feel like she is the most U of L. And she's got this, I don't want to say chip on her shoulder, because it's not like people are saying that she's not good enough or anything. I think she's humble, and she's just going to keep trying to prove everybody that she's bigger than what they're saying, even because nobody's saying she's not good enough. But yeah, you can't lose Dana to injury. And I think you can't lose any bigs to COVID you can't at any point.
Yeah. Now, I mean, because then Dana took like a 5 or 6 point jump last year from her sophomore to junior year. And I mean, she came on big time in a team that was expected to not really be bad, but it was kind of expected to be somewhat of a bridge year to maybe get some of the younger players up for this year. That team was like, well, there's no bridge year here. We're Louisville. That's not what we're doing.
Yeah, there is no time for bridges. But she also got bigger vocally. When she came in, it was Maisha hosting her, as a recruit. And then Asia. So, when you come into big voices and big names like that, you kind of have to wait your turn. Yeah. So it's her turn to be the voice and be the motor of the team. And she's going to give it all. I'm telling you, she's going to play like every game is the last one.
Absolutely. So here's the big question here. What are your expectations overall for this team? And is this the year, barring no COVID stoppage or anything, is this the year that they finally get over the hump and win the championship?
Now, I think that we've talked a few times, just like every year the expectations are ACC championship. We did it a couple years ago. It's already been a couple years since the last time they won it. Just barely lost last year to Florida State, which, the team was 28-4 last year. Two of those losses coming to Florida State.
Yeah.
One in the ACC tournament, or they would have been there 3 years in a row. And, I have been recently just, looking just about 2 weeks ahead. I just try not to look too far beyond that.
Yeah.
Because I really I can't take any more upset. I was very upset losing last year's team the way we did.
Yeah.
Not getting a chance to prove themselves because, like I said, that team was a championship caliber team, and anything can change. And just as far as the hump, what do you mean? Because I think every year Coach Walls
– I feel like every year, you think back to a couple years ago when it wasn't necessarily a hump that we needed to get over. It was a hump that a referee needed to get over on the call against Mississippi State.
Ugh, I'll never get over it.
Yeah, and then, you have losses in the championship games a couple of times. You kind of feel like, we're hitting the other fighter, but we haven't knocked them out yet, and we're just waiting for that one punch to knock them out to where we win a championship. Yeah, and we definitely have the talent to do it, and you thought 2 years ago was it 2 years ago when Adrian Durr was a senior? Was probably the year that it was going to happen. And then different things happen. That's what I'm meaning as the hump, because it's Jeff Walls to me is the most. He and Gino Auriemma and you could maybe put a couple other people, but it's those two guys that everyone's chasing.
Absolutely.
But Jeff Walls doesn't have that championship We think he's great. We know he's great. But when it, I guess that's the hump that I'm talking about. We just need to get that championship.
Got to get back to the game.
That's true.
Yeah, the Final Four a couple of years ago was awesome. But like you said, that final second play, and then actually, it should have been Jasmine Jones putting the ball back after that as a sophomore. But, you know, the ball didn't fall her way. You could say that the entire game long, the ball wasn't hitting the rim the right way, you know. So I think that this particular year, because it's so strange and we're heading back into flu/COVID season, that we really need to be prepared for anything. And when it's thrown at them, which it will be, it's better to say that it will be than not, that they'll be prepared for whatever it is. It's just going to be so much different. It's not just a straight path to a championship this year.
Absolutely. So the last part here, this is the fun part. So I hope you're ready for this part. This is the Mike and Cheese rapid fire questions. Mike and Cheese, best mac and cheese in town. If you haven't tried it, give them a call, 502-548-6845. He will deliver it to Louisville, Southern Indiana. All of his stuff is fantastic. Trey start at $10. It's a $15 minimum. Make sure you tell him that I sent you, and make sure you try the Pizza Mac. All right, you ready for the questions? You're familiar?
Now I want Pizza Mac.
Get it. I'm telling you, call him. I think he's open for lunch tomorrow.
I need to.
I'll send you the number so you can get it, because it's the Beef's Beef Podcast Pizza Mac. So,
absolutely.
All right, so rapid fire questions. You're familiar with that. You know, I asked you the question just first thing. Pizza or tacos?
Pizza.
All right, wings or burgers?
Burgers.
All right, this is a big one for me, and I say this every time I ask this question. French fries or tater tots?
Fries.
Thank you. Thank you. Your favorite movie?
Forrest Gump.
I can't hate on that movie at all. It's so good. It was funny. We were just having a conversation yesterday with my brother and another buddy. Like, that's one of those movies that when it's on TV, you just don't change the channel. Like, all right, it doesn't matter what part it's on. It's like,
it might be any Tom Hanks for me. Maybe it's that, because I just watched The Green Mile. I was like crying right before I came on here.
I can't do it with that one because of that reason. Like, I can't, like, if, and also, it, would you say that Percy in that movie is the most hateable character in any movie ever?
Oh, he's so gross. Did you not want to just punch him?
Yeah, like, I can't see, like, I don't remember any other movies I've seen him in, but I feel like if I saw him in another movie, I would hate him, even if he was a good guy.
Just one of those bros.
Yeah, like, I can't stand that guy. And also, you got to mention Toy Story when you mention Tom Hanks. I love Toy Stories.
Oh, yes. Andy.
Yes.
Yeah, I read Andy on the bottom of my foot. like what he does.
Yes. All right. Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Cookies and cream.
Nice. All right. Here's a big one for you. Biggest fear?
That concerts and games will never come back.
I think you just told me what my biggest fear was, and I didn't even realize it.
Normal games like tailgating and sitting next to people. I cannot wait to pay $13 for a beer. I'm just telling
you. All right. Those things. What's your favorite sport?
To play.
We'll say play and watch.
Watch is basketball for sure. Play, I mean, I'm going to go with something recent and say golf.
I did see that you start playing golf like last year or something, right?
I did start last year because U of L has this like a media scramble in August, and I'm not going to say no to that, even if I've never picked up a club in my life. So guess I got to learn. And like, I'm pretty sure like Coach McDonald was out there, like all these coaches and media people mingling. And yeah, so I got to meet some people at the golf, U of L golf course, which is beautiful, by the way.
That's the one that's out there by Simpsonville?
Yes, it's so pretty, like the spongiest grass ever. And yeah,
I don't even want to hit anything. I just want to lay on it.
Exactly. I felt bad touching the ground. I just shot my first 96 the other day. It was amazing.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think I've ever played 18 holes. If I've played, I played 9.
It's a lot.
I get so mad at myself. There's no way I'd be able to play 18.
It's very humbling.
Now, so you just start playing golf. This isn't part of those questions. Have you played in a glow scramble?
In a what scramble?
Like a glow scramble where it's dark outside and you hit a glow ball.
I have glow balls, but not in an official scramble. That sounds amazing.
It is the most fun I've ever had golfing, and that says a lot. Because I've played golf probably, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 times in my life. And this is the only time that I felt like I enjoyed myself the entire time.
I have a few glow balls, and they are awesome.
Yeah, so, all right, let's get back to these. So, your best sporting event you've ever attended?
Okay, it's a tie between two things. The 2013 Sugar Bowl, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, being awesome.
Yeah.
And the 2013 National Championship.
Nice. I didn't get to go to either one of those. Thanks a lot, UPS.
Oh, man. Did you have to work during it or just couldn't go?
Yeah, so Gary Budd, I'm sure you know who Gary Budd is. I know Gary Budd.
Today is Daryl and Gary Day, apparently, on Facebook. You'll love that shout out.
I saw that. But Gary and I worked together at UPS for a number of years. That's how I know Gary. There was so many Louisville fans on our ramp that they were like, yeah, there's no more people can take off.
So you were working during these games?
So my start time was like right when the game ended or would be scheduled to end. So what I did was I left before the game started, drove, and sat in a room by myself for a while. And then, like, people came in there, and I was just watching the game in there. And then I was watching the game with one other person. And they weren't a Louisville fan, and like they didn't understand that why I was crying. Like, I haven't seen this in my life. Like we've gotten so close so many times.
Were they not even a sports person? Like
they were, but they're like, are you serious? Like they didn't get on me. They're like, are you crying? Like they just asked me. They didn't get on me. They were just like, are you crying? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, okay. Like they left me alone about it, but like, oh yeah.
I mean, I watched it.
I still remember. I watched it in a side room at UPS.
That's special. You'll never forget.
Yeah, I won't. I mean, I wouldn't forget it anyway, but yes, that's a very good point. I won't forget where I watched it at. All right, your favorite restaurant in Louisville?
I'm going to say Come Back In. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of it, but I've never eaten there.
Oh, you got to. If you want to go to like, it's like very low lighting, Italian, like true Italian food and just like very speakeasy kind of environment. Come Back In. It's Breckenridge.
What's your favorite thing there? Like, what would you recommend if I was going there? What would you tell me to get?
I love the bolognese with pepperoni.
That sounds fire. I might leave and go get that now.
You should.
Yeah. All right. Your favorite basketball player and your favorite athlete ever. So to be fair to you, because you're more of a women's fan than most people that I have on here, I'll let you give both men's and women's for a basketball player.
Okay. That's fair. So favorite basketball player for men's is David Paget. When I played softball in high school, David Paget was my favorite player and I was picking my number on my jersey and guess what number I picked?
4. Yeah.
So I love David Paget, big crush on him.
Have you gotten to meet David Paget?
Oh yes. Where's my picture? I have a picture with him. There's a man that works at Yum Center who was my coach, played softball at Mail. He was coaching there, and he was the facility guy or something. So him and his daughter and I became friends, and he would get us into games and stuff. And I've got a picture right here. Actually, I'll take this off the wall.
Nice.
At Freedom Home, me and PK. And then his daughter, Shelby, at Freedom Hall. So that was like sophomore year.
Nice.
So that was the day I met David Paget too.
Because I met him in the 2013, right after we won the Elite Eight game over Duke. So nice. He stopped and talked to us for a minute, took a picture. Just a super nice guy.
Yeah, I did actually get to tell him. There was a was it the 2009 celebrated – team this past season. I don't know. He was at the Yum Center this past season, and I got to tell him all these creepy high school things about myself. I just felt like he should know.
I'm sure that's not embarrassing at all.
Maybe now.
Yeah.
Favorite women's player? Oh, why was I thinking of this other day? Like somebody was going to ask me this. I think I'm going to say Asia Durr. She was so cool. And I got to see her grow up. And I was covering the team when it was announced that she was coming. So it was like I feel like a 6 or 7 year relationship with Asia. And, you know, get to see her play pro. And she just recently got engaged, I think. So it's just, I think she's my favorite.
So I've never, like, I asked people this question, but I've never actually given my answer. So I'm going to give my answer too. So men's is DeJuan Wheat. I've always loved DeJuan Wheat. That was my favorite player growing up. Because he was small, and he, like, nothing ever stopped him. Like, it didn't matter who he was playing. Like, it didn't matter how – like, it didn't matter. He was going to ball on everybody he played. And he's from Louisville.
But he stood out to you.
Absolutely. I love DeJuan Wheat. And it was fun. I'll tell this story on – I don't know if I've even told this story to anybody on this podcast, at least. I went to movies with my buddy one time, and I live in New Albany, and I was at the Great Escape here in New Albany. And about halfway through the movie, I looked like two rows in front of me. I was like, I think that's DeJuan Wheat. And I started, like, sweating. I was like, pretty sure that's DeJuan Wheat. I believe you. So the movie ends and the lights come on. I was like, oh my God, it is him. So I he's like sitting down in front of me. So I have to go out and down the row and then come back. And like, I stop him by the time we get out of the movie theater. And like you were talking about with all the creepy stories with David Padgett, that's what I did with DeJuan Wheat. And then like we get outside and I was like, hey man, I do a podcast. I'd love to have you on. And I gave him my card and I still haven't heard back from him. So DeJuan Wheat, if you ever listen, please do that.
You got to shoot your shot. I'm sure it'll get back to him.
Absolutely. So, women's player, though, I may surprise a lot of people with this one, but I went and watched her play when I guess I was in middle school, Sarah Nord.
Ooh.
Sarah Nord was one of the most talented players I've ever seen, men's or women's play. She was so dominant. Talk about small and just took over a game. I'm pretty sure I was at the game where she got a quadruple double.
Wow. Like,
she was insane. And plus, she's local, too. And yeah.
Isn't she coaching somewhere south?
I'm not sure. I know she's from I know she went to Jeffersonville High School, but I'm not sure if she's coaching or anything anywhere. But yeah, that would be my favorite women's player.
That's awesome.
All right, who would be your favorite athlete ever?
So I think it's a tie between the two, and you could probably guess who they are.
I'm gonna let you say it.
Well, I want to say two.
I mean, I think I can guess them, but. I'll let you.
So, well, I mean, just one is Muhammad Ali. Like, I just feel like, you know, I'm so proud of that man. I'm so proud that he's from Louisville. Just the huge impact he had through sport is something that just inspires me. And, you know, he lived a long, fulfilling life. And, you know, it really tore me up when he was gone. Like, I'll never forget where I was when I heard Muhammad Ali died.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was really hurting, so it didn't hurt. It hurt, you know, that he wasn't here anymore, but I did cry. I cried. I was like at this blues festival.
Let's be honest with you. I think every Louisville area person cried. Even if they don't want to admit it, I'm pretty sure at least they at least got choked up when they heard it. Cause like thinking about that, like what you said, like with the impact that he had through sport, it frustrates you even more when you see people like, what's her name? Laura Ingram telling people to shut up and dribble and stuff like that. Like, you see the impact that that man had
around the world
because he was an athlete
around the world.
And let's be honest with you. LeBron is probably more known now than Muhammad Ali was then. It's not because he's better or anything. It's just because there's more access to them and he's in more places. So, I mean, if you ever wanted someone to have a good impact on something, why would you tell them to just shut up and dribble when you see the impact that when social media wasn't even around, someone had that huge of an impact?
That's literally what studying sports is talking about the effects it has on the world or world events / issues and how they affect sports. I mean, I told you how COVID affected the sporting industry and how it just completely wrecked a lot of people's jobs and careers. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in the real world that go on in sports, drug abuse, sexual abuse, racism, sexism. So, I mean, everything in life is in sports, and so sports can be used. I mean, just think about how important little league sports is for kids.
Yeah.
It keeps you out of trouble. It teaches you sportsmanship, how to be a a good winner, a good loser, and a good teammate, and all these values that we as a society value. So, I mean, it just, if you think harder than they're just dribbling or they just make a paycheck, they just make millions of dollars. Well, yeah, it took them a lot of work to get there. They dribbled a lot of times to get there.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of good things for a lot of people. I mean, if you've ever seen Muhammad Ali running through the streets of Africa with little kids hanging on his, you know, arms, it moves you. And like, that's, if you want to compare LeBron or Ali, like, just think about, like you said, the social media wasn't there, and Ali had to literally move across the world to get himself as known as he was without social media. And he was more personable, and not that saying LeBron's not, but
could you picture how popular Muhammad Ali would be with social media? Like, that would be insane. Like, because he was already like worldwide, and like, you, and
yeah, just like smack talking too, like him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh Lord. Okay, so I have to give a shout out to Kobe Bryant too. Obviously, like, that man has changed my life this year. You know, losing him at the beginning of the year is one of the most, it was the hardest thing ever, because it was like a healthy man, in the prime of his life, having a tragedy happening with another family member. And it just really, really bothered me for months. And now I think of Kobe Bryant every single day. I'm doing a Kobe Bryant Christmas tree this year, I mean, Laker, it's purple and gold, but, he's another one, and I'm truly inspired by everything he was doing. He was changing the women's game and, you know, making it a better place for his daughter, and I just love that. I really thought he was going to be here this year. When I found out he died, I was at the Yum Center. I can't remember if it was a women's or men's game.
It was a women's game, because I was at home, and I have season tickets to men, so, and I just remember it was on a Sunday when it happened, and
it was a day. I had gotten my fantasy football pictures taken, and I had gone to the Yum Center right after, and then I got all these texts, and there was no way I would have been able to do these pictures if I had learned that.
Yeah.
Because for about 2 weeks, I just walk around with a frown on my face.
I didn't believe it. Like, and because I was watching TV, and I looked at my phone, and I texted him. I was like, "This is fake, right?" And like, one of my buddies is like you with Kobe, like, oh my God. Like, and I'll be honest with you, I hated on Kobe for the longest time. Like, and I didn't realize how much of an effect it would have on me whenever he did pass.
And I've heard that a few times from people.
And I hate how, I've already said, I hate how I didn't really relish having him here. And I hate that I didn't know all the things he was doing behind the scenes with, because he didn't really talk about it, which is not a bad thing. I mean, you're doing big things. I would love to know about it, but we don't have to hear that. To me, it's kind of pumping yourself up if you do that. But I didn't know all the things he was doing.
Oh, I loved hearing. Like, I feel like every month I would hear a Kobe Bryant story, whether it's, you know, hanging out with Team USA Soccer or going on Ellen and hanging out with Ogunba Wale, you know, after they win the championship, and Ogunba Wale's telling him about how Kobe's her biggest inspiration, her dog's name's Kobe, so he brings a jersey for the dog and blah, blah, blah. And it just, I would get those stories once a month. And like I said, my best friend, we would share them with each other, and it's just, it doesn't happen anymore, and it's just
so, yeah, it's tough. But Daryl, I appreciate you so much taking time out and joining me, and I mean, I'd love to do this again in the future, talk about women's basketball, because I don't really have a lot of people I can talk to about with it.
For sure, you should get out to a couple games. I mean, if you really can. I know this year's kind of hard to, but you know, in the future, you got to make it a point to get to a couple games. It's so much fun. I'm telling you, if you get to one game, you're going to come back.
Oh, I went to the NC State game 2 years ago when Asia had 44. I was at that game. And that game was insane. And that should tell you something. I still said Sarah Nord was my favorite player. And I saw that game. So she had 28 in the first quarter or something, or in the first half.
Crazy stats. I can't even – there's a laundry list.
Yeah, it was insane. But, I appreciate so much you taking time out for me, and we getting the schedule together so we can get you on. Because we've been talking about it for – months or even a year. I feel like getting you on.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And we got 2 weeks till basketball, and I hope we can get through a good healthy season. Everybody has a good healthy season, and we get some wins.
Yeah, wear your mask and social distance so we can see sports again.
Right, and shows.
Yeah. All right, again, I appreciate you, and hopefully have a good day, and I'll see you later.
See you. Thanks, Beef.